You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On today's episode of The Cooligans, we talk the Jack Harrison event. The Cooligans joining forces with Jack Harrison.
So
it was
fun.
Quite an epic event at Upper 90. Also, MLS Redline Day, Deadline Day. It's coming up soon. The matches beforehand, NYCFC against DC United, Montreal, Toronto, Red Bulls, Columbus, Dallas against Seattle. All fantastic games that we cover today.
In the second segment, oh my God, we talk about EPL. Is it exciting? Is it boring? Where's all that money going? I don't know. Bundesliga, is it more exciting? Is MLS more exciting? We seem to think so, but a lot of really positive things are happening, especially if you're an Arsenal fan. And if you're an Everton fan, you're pretty excited. Plus, we talk about some of the other things that happened in the EPL. Plus, we talk about a bunch of other stuff, including Champions League, everything in Europe, everything outside of the US. That's in the second segment, but we have a little bit more than that on the Cooligans!
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hey guys, just a quick break. I just want to let, it's not funny, man.
Sorry.
It's not funny. I want to let you guys know, look, if you are a fan of the Cooligans, you're a fan of our podcast, our videos, our comedy,
anything that we do,
this is
content that we provide for you.
Yeah. And, the content that we do provide is, it's very time consuming. It is, we are not being paid for it.
Shockingly enough,
a lot of work, and it's quality stuff. So the thing where we want to introduce to you guys is our Patreon. We started a Patreon page, and if you don't know Patreon is basically a service that allows you to support and like subscribe to any project that you may enjoy. So it's like Kickstarter, but like you get to follow along with the growth of any particular project.
Yeah, you would essentially become a patron of the podcast and of everything we do, videos, the whole nine. And basically what will happen is you can pledge a certain amount per month. So on the lowest end, you have $1 a month. So if you absolutely love what we're doing, as opposed to us having to read, maybe advertisements and things like that, or having too many advertisements where it's just too much for you guys, what we decided to do was create this. So you can pledge $1 a month all the way up to $300 a month, honestly, if you wanted to. But for real...
Definitely give $300 a month.
Every month.
That's like an
you
option
guys have it.
Of yours.
We know. You're listening to a free podcast. You definitely have $300 a month to just throw away. But here's what we're going to do. If we get a bunch of you guys to give us $1 a month, we would, first of all, be very, very honored. And second of all, we're going to do is we're going to take all that money and put it all towards more content. Getting the stuff out faster to you guys, giving you guys something weekly, multiple things weekly.
And exclusive stuff that only
you'll get. Absolutely. Yeah. If you become a patron, you're going to get stuff specifically for you. So some of these interviews that we've been doing, some of these player interviews, like you guys went to the Jack event. There's a couple of things that we're going to only release specifically to our patrons. So become a patron. Go to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/soccercooligans. Go there. Check it out. You can, if you don't have the money, we understand that. Not everyone has money to give to podcasts and to videos and networks like ours. So you know what you could do? Share it. Share it with your friends and your family. Get it for someone as a gift. Maybe you know someone who loves this podcast and loves our videos. You can let them become a patron as a gift for the holidays or their birthday.
Or feel free to share it with someone who you know has a lot of money.
If you have a benefactor, someone with a lot of money, this is what you want to ask them for.
Exactly.
Because what we want to do is continue to entertain you. We want to still do it our way where we don't have anyone telling us what to do and still free for you guys. And in order to do that, we just need a little bit of help. And I mean, you know, again, $1 a month doesn't seem like a lot. It's $12 a year. If you and a bunch of your friends could do that for us, imagine how much that would help us. And again, all of that money is going to go directly into the more content for us, for you guys, I should say.
So go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/soccercooligans. You can see all the different rewards. So if you want to give a little bit more, there's rewards there. There's a little, you can get some merch. You can have access to events, exclusive content. So please support the Cooligans. This is the first time we're asking people
for anything. Yeah.
So if you like what we do and you're a supporter, you've been to our events, you've been to our shows, anything, you like our videos, think about it.
Really, yeah, please.
Think about supporting the Cooligans.
Thank you very much again. That's Patreon, Patreon.
Wow.
Eon. Patreon, right?
There we
go. Patreon.com/soccercooligans.
Yeah. Alexis didn't do so great in his spelling bees.
I'm so sorry, but thank you so much for listening to this break and back to the podcast. Hey, everybody.
What's up, guys?
Oh, man. We're the Cooligans.
We are. We still are.
Yeah, baby. This is Alexis Guerreros.
This is Christian Polanco.
Yeah, and we are so happy to have you here with us. We're talking soccer. We actually haven't said anything yet, but we're going to talk soccer.
Yeah,
you believe
us.
We
are talking soccer. I mean, this is the week we've decided to start talking about soccer.
Yeah. All those other weeks, we normally, were just all of, BSing. Talking about Pinterest.
It was mostly about pottery.
A lot. We're big botanists. Little green thumbs.
We were like, you know what? This soccer thing is like picking up some steam.
I feel like people are starting to care about it a little more. So we Wikipedia'd it and we learned a lot.
Yeah, that's right. All our knowledge is Wikipedia based.
Oh boy. But you know, in all reality, we have had a whirlwind of a week so far.
Yeah, a lot going on, very busy for us.
Which is good, right? We want to be busy,
yeah.
Right? Do you want to be busy?
I don't want to be busy. I got to be honest, man. I don't want to be busy.
I want nothing. I want to do nothing, Christian says. Well, no. I do. I want to be busy. And this week, we were as busy, I think, as we ever been as Cooligans.
That's right.
You know, it's funny. Like, as comedians, we tend to be very busy and we do other things and a lot goes on. But this last week, Cooligans took the front seat. And we had the chance to do our first player interview, which we were really excited about. A lot of back and forth.
It took a lot to make it happen. But yeah, we had our first play, not only just our first player interview, but our first like event. I mean, with a player at Upper 90 in Brooklyn.
First live event. It was massive. I know we talked about it on this podcast before. So for those of you who don't live in the area, you know, soccer stores aren't, you know, aplenty, you know, in this area. It's kind of hard sometimes, you know, now with Amazon, it doesn't really mean that much to be able to go somewhere and buy like shin guards or something. But, you know, when we were kids, especially for me, that was like the meeting place of like soccer heads. You know, you could go there and like you could talk. Like Pegasus was like a big one in Newark. Like you can go to Pegasus and like you knew there were going to be people there talking about like the Portuguese league and Benfica versus Sporting and, you know, Real Madrid versus, you know, Barca and then Arsenal. You know, a lot of Arsenal heads used to get there. It was the only time I could really have those conversations besides like maybe with some of my Portuguese or Brazilian friends. So it means a lot. New York, no store means more than Upper 90. That is the epitome. I mean, it's just like a place to go and like there's like, there's like, you know, soccer newspapers hanging out.
Yeah, yeah. And just even for like a brick and mortar store.
Right.
Like it's almost crazy that a soccer store can like exist.
Yeah, you know? And continue to expand.
They exactly. And
one
it's also like
one Brooklyn, one Queens, one Long Island.
Yeah. And it's also like a cool store. I don't know how to just even regardless of that they sell soccer gear. It's just like you feel like soccer is cool when you walk in there as opposed to any like a standard sporting goods store.
Absolutely.
Where you walk in when they have like, you know, one end cap of like soccer gear.
Right. Or you go to like end cap because you worked.
I worked in retail.
I was like, how did he know that? But like you go to Walmart and there's like a couple of soccer balls.
Yeah.
And then like a few things. But like, you know, the football section or the basketball section tends to take up most of it, you know. So, you know, this is like a whole store dedicated to that. And they got like the dopest stuff. Like they have seats and I think all their stores, they have a location to like watch matches.
Yeah.
You know, like you can go. And the one in Brooklyn in particular has that half of a pitch. It's like a mini pitch inside of it. That's like walled off. They like do training in there. It smells kind of like a gym sometimes.
Yeah,
but
it's great.
It's cool. It's like a turf. It's cool. It's like fun. You could have indoor soccer.
I had turf pellets in my shoes after we were
Did
done.
You really?
Yeah.
What did you do? Did you two-foot somebody?
I was slide tackling Jack Harrison a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's the player we interviewed.
That's who it was. We spoke to Jack Harrison in front of a fun crowd.
Great crowd. And, you know, look, well attended. It was standing room only, which is kind of exciting. You know, it was fun. And there was we kept talking about a big surprise. You know, we kept talking about like revealing this big surprise. Are we revealing it on the podcast or are we doing that in the video?
Yeah. I mean, people, we revealed it already.
Did we?
Yeah, that's right. Every single piece of social media.
For those of you who don't know, this is where I now take some expertise here, the food department. Christian would have been like, hey, I named these Twinkies after you. It would have been no big deal for Christian. He doesn't care about food the way I do.
I just wrote JH on a Twinkie. Yeah. This is your own Twinkie.
Come on, huh? You're welcome. For those of
what
us...
What do you mean you're throwing up after eating the Twinkie?
What do you mean you're not allowed to eat all this processed sugar before you play soccer? For those of you who don't know, I'm a big food person and somewhat of a food personality in New York, and I've I have graced a certain place called Hard Time Sundays as the best burger in New York. Now, look, I'm by far the only person to do this. He is getting a lot of recognition all over the world. Andrew Zarika, amazing, amazing burger. One of the best burgers. Very simple. It's not crazy. There's no mac and cheese on it. There's no, you know, it doesn't come with like, you know, a Parmesan frico on it. Okay. It's just the standard amazing burger.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything he does at a high level. So if you like Shake Shack, welcome to the new best burger. All right. Because this is just like, it's that times 10, but it's incredible. So he's really, really busy. It took us a while to get him. He's never named an item after anyone. He's consulted on other burger joints before he opened his own. And he's never named something after somebody. So this is a big, big moment for him. It took a lot of convincing. I showed him some highlights of Jack Harris and explained how important he was. And he was like, yeah, I'd love to do this for the fans. So guys, go out to Hard Time Sundays. He's in the Vanderbilt Market right outside Grand Central. On your way home, if you work in the city, or if you're coming into New York and you're coming in on a trip, Grand Central is probably a place you're going to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Go there. Right across the street, there's a dope little like food hall. And he's in there, Hard Time Sundays. Tell Andrew I sent you, or we sent you. So he has named an amazing burger after
and
Jack
just
Harrison.
To make sure Sundays is spelled like a sun, like ice
like
cream
ice
sundae.
Cream, so yeah, right.
Hard Times Sundays. A-E-S at the end.
And we linked him a bunch, and we're going to put up once the video goes up, we're going to put a link and everything on our blog. But yeah, check it out, dude. It's absolutely amazing. And the other thing he's never done is he's never put chili on the burger. He makes chili for his bacon wrapped hot dog. He makes a bacon wrapped hot dog that he covers in chili and cheese.
Mm.
I know. Right? Well, certainly not good for you, but it's so tastes so good going down.
It's not good for you, but it's good to you.
Oh, it certainly is. Yeah. Everyone right now is thinking about that girl in high school. So he almost refused to do it, but I spoke to Debbie, Jack's mom, and she told me how much he loved chili. So I was like, hey, if we're going to do this, we got to do this.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got the chili cheeseburger. It's absolutely incredible. We were going back and forth between calling it the Jack Harrison burger or the number 11. We felt that the Jack Harrison burger just highlighted him even more.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really was special. And for sure. Us, it was, even for me, just personally on a professional level,
right.
it felt like a really big achievement. You know, not only did we get to like, you know, I don't even know what like professional athlete I really like. I've never been in that kind of setting with a professional athlete where
like
it was
you,
like a show.
Probably, you'd want to like interview Penny Hardaway if you could anybody, right?
That would be pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we, let's work on that. Can we,
you want to do
can
that
we
next?
Have a Penny Hardaway sandwich? Can we, can we get on that?
Can we have the Penny Hardaway bowl of Soylent?
the Penny Platano.
Yeah. There we go.
I would buy that.
God, that must've been your nickname at some point. But like, you know, for me, like, you know, interviewing someone like a Dennis Bergkamp or Thierry Henry, it would have blown my mind if you told me, you know, 10, 15 years ago that I'd be interviewing a professional soccer player, and not just any professional soccer player, someone who's getting looks at from European clubs. And, it's probably going to be the rookie of the year. I can't imagine anyone else, usurping that from him. He's amazing and he's led to a lot of great goals. And this was the thing for us, is that we wanted to make this a soccer event, not an NYCFC event. And there was a lot of people that were there that weren't NYCFC fans, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. And it really was, it was just fun. I mean, like, you know, a lot of times with like, I think a lot of times, a lot of people expected like a meet and greet with a player and, you know, take some photos and he can sign some of my stuff. But
it's kind of like lackluster, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to say they're boring because it's fun to go out and meet a professional player. But, you know, they don't really offer you like an inside look. Like you kind of have to, you know, maybe somebody gets a good question, but like he's off to the side talking to that person.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets to hear it. And, you know, the meet and greets, the questions, like the Q&As.
Yeah.
Like the ones that like city in the, what is it? City in the boroughs.
Mm-hmm.
Like the club will come out and do these. And I don't know if the other clubs do this. If they do, let us know. Send us an email. But, you know, the questions that are asked are like, oh, I noticed the formation. Like they're very like, they're sort of afraid to really get down there where you and I are
well,
not.
Well, they're valid questions. And for a diehard fan, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like for the kind of, you know, quote unquote show or event that we want to put on, it's more like fun if it's relatable to more people, even if you're not into soccer, because the player and the player's personality gets to shine.
100%.
And that's, you know, and props to Jack, because he was just great. I mean, look, it's not always easy to just like do You know, like we recorded a podcast or did a live show, live interview. And
for sure,
he totally held his own. He was fun. He was funny. And he kept up with, you know, two comedians, being idiots.
And that's the funny. Yeah, you're right. And the other thing is that, like, I don't know that how well prepared he was for the fact that we were going to be like lively and asking him really personal questions and,
yeah,
you know, really boiling down to, so like, you know, just like the Iyongo moment. We, if you don't know, we played the video of his amazing run up to that goal.
Like the Allen Iverson crossover.
Oh my God.
He did on Ambrose Iyongo of the Montreal Impact.
But we were like talking about it from like a his perspective, and he was prepared with like a very, well-trained media training type answer. Well, yeah, you know, it's all about the team, and we're like, yeah. But how about, and we just like he you could see him lose it in that moment,
yeah,
where he's just not prepared. And you and I, like, probably I'm probably the more aggressive, but you and I, like, probably intimidating to some people because we're both very sharp thinkers. So when we come at someone, we're like already four steps ahead. And he was just like, you know, he couldn't avoid really getting, like, he answered questions I don't think he knew he was going to answer.
Yeah, and I'm glad he wasn't shy about it or uncomfortable. He really
absolutely
embraced the moment, and the fans that were there to see him, he was so warm and welcoming, and he loved the burger. And I mean, seriously, for our first event, it could not have gone any better. It was so cool.
Not at all. I mean, that was exactly, I won't say that's exactly what I wanted, but like at the end of the day, like that's exactly how I had hoped the level it would come out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I could go back and say like, oh, let's do, like, there were a couple things we forgot to do, like turn the lights on. We had like additional lights on, the simple things like that, like just background
but
stuff.
This, yeah. I mean, to everyone listening right now, we want to be very clear. This is such a grassroots operation. There's so
yes,
few people helping us with this. I mean, we had our significant others there. We had Kirby. We had some other comics.
Should be studying. He's out helping us.
Kirby's in school. He had to run from school. He had to tell his teacher. He threw his books at his teacher's face. And said,
homework.
I got to go.
I got to get out of here.
I got to go see Jack Harrison.
He wrapped his books in one of those belts, threw it over his shoulder, and he hitchhiked a Greyhound bus all the way over four hills.
It all seemed like, you know, we're scrambling at the end to make it all work, but that's really the situation that we're in.
It's just us.
We don't have a giant budget. We don't have some big conglomerate helping us. We don't have
big European finance group sending us money every week. We've got nothing besides our own efforts and our own money. And
so
we put a lot of it into this.
So we need you. We need you.
Yeah.
To support.
That damn Patreon.
That Patreon. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. You probably already heard a message about it. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I know a lot of the folks that were there sent us some messages and let us know how much they enjoyed it. I got some, Facebook messages from people. I love it, dude. I love it. I'm glad you guys had fun. We want to do more. We would love to do one every single week if we could. And we'd love to travel and visit people, visit clubs outside of just New York. And, you know, we had some plans and some stuff that's coming through and some stuff that's not exactly coming through that we're going to bust our ass and make sure that it happens for you guys because we absolutely love you guys. But in the MLS, it was a lot more than just our interview. I know, and shouts out to all the MLS people who came out to that event because that's, they have every right to not ignore us. And some folks were there, which was kind of nice.
Who has a right to ignore us?
I'll knife anybody who tries to ignore me. But
how dare they?
But they don't have to pay attention to us, and it's nice that some folks have taken some effort.
It was very kind, very sweet,
beautiful. It was beautiful.
The MLS was on fire.
Oh man, this is it. I mean,
this week, just 1 week left.
Yeah.
One round of games left.
Also, our fantasy league on fire. A lot to talk about.
Pretty intense.
It's down. It's between me and a Canadian. So come on, Americans, send me some tips here. Matu crushing it, man.
Yeah, he's in first.
I was in first last week. We keep swapping. Yeah, he's been in first for a long time.
It's about a 6-point gap.
It's a 6-point gap, man.
6-point thigh gap.
Yeah. Yeah,
which you're trying to close.
We've got a Kylie Jenner. I don't know if she has one of those. She probably has a knife that created that. I beat him last week, and I don't know. None of my defenders scored. Andy, if you're listening to this, thanks for your help.
Andy winner. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you had it. You got a lot of points.
Yeah. I was able to sort of, keep within range, but I had a 3-point buffer that he totally jumped over. So now I have to make up 6 points in the last week. But Andy's help, Andy's episode helped me out quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, finding out that there was unlimited transfers. Really settled me.
I finally took advantage of that.
Yeah.
And I did okay.
Yeah, because you forgot to do it last time.
I didn't.
But in the real MLS matches, oh man, NYCFC with a stinker, unfortunately.
Yeah, they did not bring their best. They didn't bring their A game.
No. And the goal here is to end up in the first two because you get a bye.
Yeah, so this was a bad loss. So NYCFC lost to DC United at... they play at RFK.
They did play at RFK. Okay.
3-1 and a goal by David Villa, but we got goals. Patrick Mullins, formerly of NYCFC.
Celebrated too.
Yeah.
He did not hold back.
But he didn't go crazy either.
He celebrated.
He did celebrate.
That's it. That's all it takes.
So
it's dead to us.
Because this is the ethics, right? And for any American soccer fans that aren't aware, it's like basically if you play against your former team, you are not allowed to show any kind of celebration. Like when Frank Lampard scored against Chelsea when he was playing for Manchester City.
He put his hands up and walked away.
He was just hands up, don't shoot. You know, he did that.
Yeah, that's right. He put on a hoodie.
Yeah. He was like, nobody. Okay.
Yeah. Everybody?
Everything's fine.
I'm sorry. I shot. Please don't shoot.
But I'm making jokes.
They were your employer. You don't do that. And, you know, Patrick Mullins got a shot from NYCFC, so... You would have expected that being traded, leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So, yeah. I get the point. I get the point, and I understand. But unless they gave up on you, you don't. Maybe he feels like they did. You don't celebrate. Well, but whatever.
He didn't get much playing time. But also, you're a forward on a team with David Villa, so it's going to be tough to get playing time.
And he's clearly good. He's doing a great job in DC.
Yeah. So. I mean, there were a lot of issues with this game. It was very surprising.
Yeah, no one covered Lloyd Sam. That dude was running around like crazy.
It was surprising how bad NYCFC looked, really, especially with how important this game was.
Right, but here's something to consider. First of all, Diego Martinez came in for Matarita, looked amazing.
Yeah.
Lampard's not there, and I know we joke around, but at this point in the season now, Lampard has become an incredibly important part of that club. So NYCFC needs Lampard in order to just sort of maintain possession and to do what he does. Last season it was someone like Poku when he was in tons of possession. Now it seems like it's Frank Lampard, and you know, hopefully Lampard stays another season because he seems to be doing a great job there.
Well, one thing that is pretty frustrating, especially as an NYCFC fan, just another set piece goal, just another corner kick. Almost every game.
Yeah, either we're terrible or it's all Josh Saunders. I don't know what's going on with him.
Nah, Josh Saunders had his own issues, but not. I don't think it was that goal. It seems to me it's just NYCFC has, I guess, just smaller players. I don't know, because they're always getting out hustled in the box when it comes to in a corner kick.
Brian is really the only tall guy, you know, tall, imposing in the air.
Yeah.
You know, for everything Mena is, he's not imposing in the air. You know, guys like, Chanel is out for the season.
Well, it was Chanel's. I'm sorry. It was Mena's. The guy that Mena was marking was the one who scored, Bobby Boswell.
Yeah.
And that... Yeah, I guess the first... Oh, wait. Was it Bobby Boswell or Rob Vincent? I think it was Bobby Boswell. The second goal. And... But it just seems to happen so much that it's such a concern. I mean, look, the third goal, Rob Vincent, like that ridiculous, the pass back to Saunders.
Oh, of course.
That was so frustrating.
Again, playing out of the back accounts for at least a goal against us every other match.
Yeah.
Which we've developed better in that style. And I understand the pinning it down and saying we have to play the style. I think if we get into the playoffs, you got to let it go.
You think so?
If it's
risky.
If there's pressure, why? But at this point, you've succeeded and gotten into the playoffs. This isn't a youth team. We're not developing. Now it's to win the MLS Cup. It's kind of like when you get into the playoffs in any other, you know, NFL or NBA, defense becomes more important. Now you're holding it down to win the game. Now there's no moral victories. And yeah. I think that goes for everyone. I think you see that some of the better defensive teams tend to do pretty well in the MLS playoffs, except for, you know, Portland last season, who still was very good defensively, but obviously they're a much more of attacking team.
I initially thought the playing out of the back was kind of a remedy to playing Yankee Stadium. You're playing in a smaller field. You want to keep possession, and maybe you don't want to get hit on a counterattack easily.
Maybe, but you would imagine a long ball would do wonders in Yankee Stadium. It's such a tiny pitch.
I don't know. I guess I always thought of it like, you know, up front, NYCFC doesn't really have big, you know, strong players. Like their front three were Jack Harrison, Villa, and Kyrie. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you think, long ball, like V is not going to get a bunch of long balls. Kyrie has the best opportunity, but that's not necessarily his strength. Right. So, yeah, just Saunders, the confusion between Iraola and Saunders was just, I mean, humiliating. I mean, it looked so bad. It was just an embarrassing, dumb play. And Saunders shouldn't have given it to Iraola. Iraola shouldn't have given it back to Saunders.
Right.
He overshot it, and it was just a bit of a scramble and Vincent just, you know, rocks right. It right in.
True poacher's goal.
Yeah, it's just bad.
And look, I think there's so much back and forth, but again, I think we're complaining. Look, we have one match left. If we win, we get a bye. And, yeah. You know, other than having beaten Red Bull, which would have been amazing, you know, look, they didn't get the supporter shield. You don't win anything for winning the East. Congratulations, they won the East. Fine. You know, they did beat a 7-0. I'd rather they have win the East and not beaten a 7-0. You know what I mean?
Did you see on the Red Bulls put a poll on their Twitter?
Yeah.
Saying who will win the East, and they mentioned all the like NYCFC, Red Bulls, and Toronto,
NYCFC won
the poll.
And what's even got to be double annoying for them is that when you win a poll, it turns it light blue. It turns that option light blue, so it actually looks like it's the NYCFC color. So
yeah,
the guy who does all of the social media, I forget his name. He posted like, "Why does this happen every time I put up a poll?" It was just so funny. He's like, "Come on, fans, man! Like, what are you doing?"
I feel so bad for the Red Bulls because
I think they'd rather win the cup than a couple polls.
Exactly. But it must be so frustrating because they're a good squad. They're a good side.
They're a very good squad. I'm not scared of them, but I'm weary of them.
Yeah.
Because they have the ability to really go after us with that high press, which I don't think we have a lot of answers for. Kyrie now seems to be able to answer that a little bit, but he has an ability to sort of fall back. I think one of the things is, look, we have our own, you know, we have our future in our own hands. You know, we have the ability to get that by. There's some other clubs that aren't doing it nearly as well. You know, the next match that we didn't see together, but we both saw was Toronto versus Montreal.
Yeah, big match. And how cool of it to be at the end of the season and it to sort of mean so much.
With Giovinco coming back and Drogba walking off the team, walking out of the team.
Yeah, let's talk about that first. You know, it was a 2-2 draw. Both teams needed the points. Montreal needed just a draw will clinch a playoff spot, so they're in. But Toronto needed the three to get the bye because NYC, especially with NYCFC losing, they were 2 points back. Now they're only 1 point back. So yes, let's talk about Drogba first because that was a big story. So Didier Drogba did not play this match, a match you would expect him to play. Such an important game.
Huge, important. Here he comes. I think the big secret with Montreal, though, has been that they play better without Drogba.
Yeah, that seems to be the realization.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, someone else said Father Time has come knocking. It seems like it's caught up to him. You know, when he started mid-year last year, we were all amazed. I mean, this guy's scoring, you know, hat tricks whenever he wants, and he's 38 years old. It seems like it's caught up to him now, you know?
Well, so the news was that, you know, Drogba wasn't even in the 18, and it was because he basically, you know, the coach, Mauro Biello, he said that, you know, Drogba had a back injury. So he wanted, he wanted to start him on, you know, he wanted to put him on the bench and get him in later because he figured the injury, you know, might slow him down for, you know, for the 90 minutes. So once Drogba heard this, he said, well, I'm not going to, don't even put me in the game at all because I want to start. And this is... this is like egregious, right?
This is yeah, this is high level diva.
This is really bad.
Divgba.
Divgba or you know, so Drogma.
Didier
Drogma.
Diva Drogba. The Diva Drogba.
Yeah, we gotta find something to put on the tabloids.
Didieva Drogba.
So yeah, once I heard this, I was like, no, I mean, I lost a lot of respect for Drogba.
Yeah, I think this puts a, I mean, he's done. This is it. This is it for Drogba. He wasn't coming back next season. You don't want him back next season. He's not coming back, but, you know, tail between his legs. This is it.
Yeah.
You know, this is the story now. And this is what I think is the biggest shame is that now he walks away with the story being like, and in his last action, he decided to leave the club instead of, you know, coming off the bench, you know, and it's terrible because he did so many amazing things.
But is it really that insulting to put him on the bench? Like,
don't ask me, ask him. Apparently it
He's like, you know, Luis Suarez in the World Cup, you know, like,
In the Copa,
where he was like, "No, you're hurt. You cannot. You cannot play."
But he was warming up. He was angry. He was warming up. Yeah,
he's not even. Wasn't even on the 18.
No one told him he wasn't in the 18. That's the big thing. Maybe that's what they should have done with Drogba. Don't even. Well, no, he wanted to start.
He wanted to start.
He was in the 18.
So this is.
That'd be hilarious. I don't know. Like, oh, baby, what are you doing out there? There's too many players. Why don't you step out for a second?
If you're a Montreal Impact fan, let us know how you feel because this is. How do you feel about your DP, your best player on the team? Not the best player on the team, but
no.
You know,
certainly the biggest marquee name.
Yeah, you would think he would have a little bit more class, and it seems pretty classless because there's nothing.
It did seem class. It seemed very French, though, and I know he's not French, but it seemed very French.
But he speaks it.
Well, Côte d'Ivoire, I mean, Ivory Coast. If I am not in the first 11, then I do not deserve. You do not deserve to have me on your bench. I don't know why he became Latin all of a sudden. He's like, I will kill your mother. But Drogba's like, I do not want to go. He didn't even go. He was like, don't put me in the 18. Home.
I'm not getting on the bus.
Oh, I'm going to France.
Yo, are you going to watch the game? No, maybe I'll DVR it if I feel like it.
I'll read the tweets. So he's just like, I look on the Instagram. Somebody Snapchat me.
But Piatti got a brace. You know, a great goal.
Dude, Piatti, man. Piatti's one of those dudes that's like, who cares if he's in or not? I got this. I don't know if Piatti's enough to carry you through the playoffs, but they're a scary team with how well they play when Piatti has full control.
Yeah. I feel like the last like few weeks he was, he sort of just slowed down. But yeah, I mean, you know, like that's,
but this is the big moment. I mean, this is, everyone is saving themselves. I mean, look at Giovinco when he came in, you know, everyone's like, what's it going to be like? He started, you know, he was like, yeah, I know I wasn't supposed to be back for another week, but trust me, I got this. And he looked good.
Yeah, I guess everyone is waiting for Lampard to have that same Giovinco.
Come on, buddy.
Kind of energy.
Giovinco, yeah. I mean, I think he's, you know, him and I still am weary about him and Altidore together. You know, Altidore is at a different level now. Giovinco carried that team on his own when he was first there. So, you know, if you guys are Toronto FC fans, I know some of those guys listening to us, let us know what you think, man. If it had to come between one of the two of them, who do you want to start? You got to feed the hot hand. And right now there's no one hotter in the league, I think, than Altidore. Besides Ola Kamara, who wasn't even in the 18, you know, in his match.
I would say the biggest issue is with Toronto right now. Bradley doesn't look good.
He looks slow. And I know I know Italian clubs are still looking for him. I don't know.
Yeah, right. I watch him and you would think he would be a little bit more dynamic and, you know, because even like Pirlo's slow, right? Nobody's expecting to be like this tremendous athlete, but he makes the correct decision.
Yeah. And he also, his spacing and movement is so impressive.
Yeah.
Where Bradley seems like he's taking that extra second, he's slowed down a bit and it's causing some real issues, especially with defenders like we have in the MLS that run directly at you. You know, they don't give you space here.
Yeah.
You know?
Michael Bradley having some issue. Bob Bradley, he's doing a little better.
A little better.
A little bit.
Destroyed by the Arsenal boys, though. I told you.
I want to say destroyed.
Oh, my God, son.
but anyway.
We had to go down a man for you to catch up, bruh.
Next up, Red Bulls against the Columbus Crew.
Yeah, we talked about it. No Alakamara. Not even in the 18. I'm not 100% sure why.
I presumed it was an injury, but I didn't look it up. I don't know what happened.
But, you know, again, Grella, Kleshtin, Dax, and BWP. That's a hell of a core.
That's definitely a game the Red Bulls should win. And they were up 3-0.
Yeah, Columbus is out of it. Columbus, of course.
They were up 3-0. And again, Red Bulls being Red Bulls made it scary at the end. They gave up 2 goals.
Finding a way to let the other team come back.
And that seems to be, I would say, the biggest concern for the Red Bulls. They can't seem to dominantly finish matches.
No, they have to score so many goals that they dishearten you.
Yeah. They have to score 7 every time.
They got to score 7 or else they're not winning easy. They just don't win easy. And, you know, look, if as an NYCFC fan, if I could avoid them in the playoffs, I'd be happy to.
I want that game. I want that match so bad.
Do
I
you really?
See it. Yeah.
It's going to be in their house, though.
New York, both back and forth.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great. That's a hot. New York will be buzzing.
Yeah, that would be. That would be big for the sport of soccer in this market.
Yeah.
You know, at BWP now, it seems like, you know, he's walking away with that goal.
23
boot.
Goals. He's 2 ahead of David Villa.
Yeah.
He looked good. The Red Bulls offensively, they're not much of a concern. I don't think they look like they have that on point. Kleshtin missed the penalty. It could have been 4-2, but
when I first put you in my fantasy team, you bastard.
But Kleshtin, he missed that penalty, but what led up to it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, a handball that wasn't called.
A handball that was by the keeper. The keeper just kind of misplayed it. He didn't know if he could grab it. Stuvert, that's his name. He didn't know if he could grab it. So he was on the edge of the box. Exactly. He was on the edge of the box. So he touched it with his hand, which you're obviously not supposed to. It wasn't called. So he tried to grab it. It was a little bit of a scrum.
Well, he couldn't grab the ball, so he decided to grab Moyle's leg.
He just grabbed Alex Moyle. He just grabbed. Just an NFL tackle.
Yeah,
rugby,
just like, yeah.
Grabbing at the legs. Like,
just hold his ankle as tight as you possibly can.
I don't think he got a card.
No.
Which crazy.
That should have been. That's 2 potential reds.
It might be a red. Yeah
those 2. You're not supposed to handle the ball outside the box if you're a keeper. And you're definitely not supposed to, you know, tackle somebody's legs out with your hands. So at least it looked like he was going for the ball, but it was clearly he was nowhere near the ball.
Yeah, he literally was just grabbing at his ankle. It's just like a little kid who doesn't want you to go away.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you dragging him. Yeah, you're dragging him. They're just holding on to you.
Basically what he did.
Don't leave. But again, you know, Rebels being Rebels, they missed the penalty.
Yeah, they missed penalty. Kleshtin with the horrible penalty. I have an issue with soft penalties like that because they're so risky. Because if the keeper guesses right, you know, you're screwed.
And you look like an idiot.
And you do look like an idiot. I mean, even like a chip is like better. I mean, that happened in the Copa America. So who was it? In Venezuela. They tried the chip and it didn't work. And that's part of the game. But at least that's like a strategic shot.
Right. He looked like he passed it lightly.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just like a 1-2 pass right to the...
He obviously mishit it. I don't think that's what he was planning.
No, I think that's what he was trying.
No. What's the point of that?
How do you mishit a penalty?
I think he mishit it.
Mishitting it like and skying it.
It like
I get
Zaza.
That because you hit it too hard or messy.
No, I think he missed it.
I don't know. I disagree. A bad soft shot that
terrible.
Was easily stopped.
But they held on for the win. So good for them, I guess.
Next up, FC Dallas against the Seattle Sounders.
Yeah. Tough if you're Seattle. I watched this match. Tough if you're Seattle, man. They had Hercules Gomez had a goal called back, which I don't think for an offside. I don't think it should have been.
No, it wasn't an offside. It was a foul against the keeper.
Foul against the keeper, yeah, which definitely should not have been called.
Yeah, it wasn't.
The keeper actually was falling towards, can't remember the gentleman's name. He has like big curly hair, but... Terrible call. And then they finally get it back with an amazing Ladero free kick.
That's right.
Uruguayo, I mean, amazing. And they kept saying it during the match, and it was obvious when you watch it, that the keeper was cheating. He was cheating the other way.
On his wife?
Yeah, I know. Right now.
Unbelievable. On the field?
That's how you win. You show him a video. You show him a sex tape of him in a side piece. And he's like, where'd you get that? And all of a sudden a goal goes in. But no, he was...
That's called the Benzema effect.
Yeah, the Benzema. You need to pay me. This is Drogba. I'm out of the club again. And I'm looking for money. The keeper was cheating to the other side, expecting that a curling ball was going to come in. And I think he was trying to get at it first.
Yeah.
Especially since Ladero seemed like he was going to be curling it towards goal as opposed to the opposite way around. And did not have enough of a reach. He was too far over to the right hand side that Ladero was like, all right, I'll go short post.
And that's crazy because the keeper was Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, exactly.
And couldn't even reach it.
That's all he does is have enough. He has enough reach. Also, Ladero was like 35 yards away. He was in the locker room. It was so far away.
You don't take a shot from there. That's a bold shot. There were only two men on the wall, or maybe even one.
There was only one. And he actually almost got ahead to it.
Yeah, you don't expect a shot, especially with that power. And also, Ladero is so tiny.
Yeah.
You don't really
pinpoint. Pinpoint shot, though.
But it was a great shot, but also the bend on it was Beckhamish.
Yeah, legendary.
It was the keeper. Yeah, he took that one little step to the side.
Yeah, in fact, it was such a good bend. Keira Knightley and some Indian chick were there. They were watching.
I love that you said some Indian chick.
I don't know the actress's name. And I hope she was Indian. I might be offending people.
She was Indian.
Some South Asian. Was she something else? I hope not.
Well, we know who was the star of that movie. Yeah, right? Yeah. Even the girl who started it was not the star of the movie.
No, Keira Knightley. Monster career after that.
Exactly.
Enough that I remember her name.
Okay. Goals by Urruti and Carlos Ruiz. Seattle, I mean, they shouldn't have lost. I mean, it would have been nicer to win the game and just go a couple points ahead and, you know, just to seal a playoff spot. But
there, have you heard their coach speak? Schmetzer?
No, I have not.
He has a lisp.
Ooh.
But you know what he looks like? He's like balding. He still has a lot of hair on the sides.
No, I haven't seen him yet.
Glasses. He wears dad jeans and dress shirts, baggy dress shirts.
So he's tucked into his dad jeans. It's safe to say he's not going to win the best dressed coach in the MLS.
Nowhere near it. He might not even be allowed to be present while it's presented to the winner. But there was an interview with him. He looks like some accountant that just picked up, a microphone. He was like, yeah, I think we're going to win. And it's kind of exciting. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. He looks like what you expect him to sound like. I mean, he sounds like what you expect him to sound like.
Okay.
From looking at him, it's embarrassing. How does he motivate?
I'm looking at a
You
picture.
Boys need to do this. It sounds like a cartoon. If you were making the nebbishy neighbor.
Yeah.
Who you find out later is like a sex god. But for the first two seasons, he's the nerd who can't do it. That's him. It's him. Look and sound.
I'm picturing Brian Schmetzer as a sex god. Right? Yeah. It's a little different. It's a little difficult.
Schmetzer,
but
the sex god. I'm going to grab you by the pussy.
Just
Schmetzer's here. Watch your girl. Mr. Steal your girl.
It
may not be as pronounced as I'm making it, but it's enough where you're like, oh no.
Look, you don't need permission to make fun of anybody on this
apparently
podcast.
Not, no.
But it would have been nicer to solidify position. They're only 45 points. Portland and Kansas City can still overlap them. And so it's still a little scary. The final game of the season is really there's a lot at stake.
This is it. This is what they're all. Yeah.
This is going to be exciting.
The last week is going to have a lot of very important matches, which is exciting. This
deadline is exciting. Day, bim, as they bim, call
bim.
It. Yeah,
or red line day because above the playoff
look
line.
Look at you,
red line day.
Look at you.
Wow. Huh.
MLS, put them in the marketing department.
Come on, son. At least let me call in. Can we Skype, bro?
You know, I got ideas.
Come on, let me Skype, homie. Redline day. Not bad.
Okay.
So. Not bad at all. Well, listen, MLS has a lot going for it. It was super exciting. Super exciting weekend. We're setting up another exciting round. For those on MLS Fantasy, this is the last week. If you're close like I am, make some smart decisions, because a lot of these teams aren't going to be playing for keeps.
That's right.
So, but sometimes, you know, the teams that don't have anything going for it play a little better. There's a lot of options out there.
And for people listening who want to play in fantasy next season, just know that it's free to play and we give prizes to the winner.
Right. As long as we don't win.
As long as we don't win.
If I win, no one gets a prize.
No one gets a prize.
Yeah. Nobody gets a prize, though. Everybody's, I'll take it all.
You all get sad emojis. Yeah.
I'll take all y'all presents, and then I go get myself a Jack Harrison burger. Boom, done.
So, yeah, so make sure you sign up next time we do it, because it's always a lot of fun. So we're going to have some prizes from On the Volley Apparel, and Kerba Shin Guards are donating some stuff for the winner.
Oh, baby.
Of the MLS Fantasy, the Cooligans MLS Fantasy.
That's right. Right. So make sure you sign up to our email list on our website so that you could be aware when we start it next season.
That's
and
right.
Next season, we're not going to start it 3 weeks in. We're going to start it right from the beginning.
Correct.
Oh, baby. I can't wait. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? Come back. We'll talk a little EPL.
Let's do it.
You like it?
I like it.
How was it?
I was pretty good.
I agree. We'll be right back after this.
Hey guys, Christian Polanco here. I just wanted to give you guys a quick update on Instagram giveaway that we're doing. We're really excited to be partnering up with Cobra Shin Guards. Cobra Shin Guards, they make a lightweight, moldable shin guard. So if you play soccer, you know that when you buy, you know, shin guards from some store, they're just, you know, sometimes they're stiff. They don't really fit you that comfortably. But these, you mold them. It's a really cool process. You just put them in water and then they mold to your leg. And once they cool down, they are yours. They're your shin guards. They even remold. So if you want to give them to somebody else, or maybe you just gained some weight in your shins, so you can go on Instagram now and look at the giveaway. We have a contest going, so go on Instagram right now so you can win yourself a pair of Cobra shin guards.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back, everybody. Thank you.
So, we talked a lot about MLS. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the only game in town, although they may be the most exciting game in town.
Yeah, we've been the last couple of weeks, it's come up. Sky Sports, they had an article about Sky Sports saying that Premier League live viewership is down 19% this year.
Which is, this is the $1 billion, the multi-billion dollar deal.
Yeah, so this isn't what they want because, as soon as they spend all the money.
The hell we pay for.
Then nobody's watching. So this is, a bit of a concern for the Premier League. But this is my general feeling across what we're in week eight.
Yeah, week eight.
Just the games themselves haven't really been that impressed.
Even the big derbies haven't been impressive. The big rivalries, you know, Manchester United Liverpool was supposed to be like the big one, you know, and it's a for 90 minutes. It was exciting. I think the one thing that stood out to me the most in that match is how Firmino just looked so slow.
That's surprising.
He seemed a bit lacking in pace, which is, you know, a hallmark of the Klopp style, which is that, you know, aggressive. Coutinho looked great. It was kind of a snore fest. And the rest of the league has been kind of boring. Look, I'm an Arsenal fan. I've really been excited by some of the last few Arsenal matches. But if I watched some of those matches sort of, unbiasedly, if I was just an average fan who had no skin in the game for that match, maybe the end of the Burnley match would have been fun, but that would have been a snooze fest the whole way through. You know, it's not that exciting. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's weird because normally, you know, like when people make the case against sort of MLS, they're like, oh, the quality of the game is not as good. You know, I'd rather watch the Premier League.
Right.
But is the quality of the Premier League obviously better? Yes. But for the sake of entertainment value,
right?
You know, this is sort of like, you know how when people I don't really like watching college football, right?
Me neither.
I'm not too into it. Too many teams doesn't make sense to me.
And I don't know any. I don't know where the hell you are.
But
okay.
And then, but the scores tend to be like 65-42, so that's 65-2.
Yeah.
And so for whatever reason, it's not as intriguing to me as NFL. I like watching NFL.
Right.
Just comparing those two games, I'd rather watch NFL. It's a bit more precise, things like that.
Sure.
But some people make the argument that the NFL is like, it's the defenses are too strong or like the scores are not, the game is not as fun because everybody's so good.
Right. And, you know, I'm I listen to people say this all the time, and I just assume it's because I'm an East Coast guy, you know, that I don't get it. Like, up here, there are no real...
I think
Rutgers just lost 60-something. Like, that's, like, kind of the only school that maybe matters, you know, football-wise,
but barely. But this is sort of how I feel about the Premier League to some degree, where, like, even though with the college football analogy, I don't agree because I'd rather watch NFL, but in this instance, MLS is, yes, a lower quality league compared to the Premier League.
100%. But it's when hard
it comes,
to argue
when
the
it
opposite.
Comes to entertainment... Entertainment value
so much better,
and so much better.
I've said this to people before, and to them it sounds insane. But come to an MLS match, and I think you'll be shocked at how exciting and how great the atmosphere is. And I think that's, you know, that's part and parcel with being, you know, a league that doesn't have you know, a chock full of big names, you know, and big national team players. And I think that's part of it. But Premier League, man, I don't know, dude. I watched some of the other matches, and it's kind of boring, and it's been exciting the last few seasons. I don't know if it's, you know, the fact that some of the teams are sort of like, it's being kind of shaken up, and, you know, Manchester United, Bayern, Pogba, that doesn't seem to be working all that well. You know, Mourinho would happy to see him fail. You know, so there's still some exciting portions, but it's not nearly what it used to be.
Yeah.
But you know, it seems like Bundesliga. It's super exciting, man. The fandom is nuts. Everything about it seems great. If only it was, you know, in English, it would be so much better.
Sure, I mean, Fox Sports, you can watch the
games. I'm not watching that. But I mean, like, you know, the names and some of the things like that.
It's a little more difficult to just...
Yeah, there's that slight sense of separation.
Yeah, any league that's not in English, you sort of feel that. But Bundesliga, the games themselves, like I watched Borussia Dortmund against Hertha Berlin, so John Brooks against Christian Pulisic, that was like a big deal. So they aired, you know, the game here, and it was just an entertaining brand of football.
Right.
You know, they have. Like, now that I'm paying attention to a little bit more to all the different leagues and sort of how they play, I watch, you know, Liga MX and MLS and Premier League and Bundesliga and La Liga, and I'm like seeing
You got 38 screens in your house.
Yeah.
It looks like a sports book out here.
It's just like, Batman, like the Batcave.
Yeah. What was that movie, Sliver, where the guy had all the cameras?
Oh, I don't know.
You remember that?
I didn't see Sliver.
I was a kid when it came out, but I still remember the commercial.
But Bundesliga... is they have a, you know, the first thing you notice, the players are not 6'5", like the center backs are not all like 6'5",
giant
men. It's like the people are a little bit more, they have like more, they're more technical on the ball. Like every player has a little bit of skill, and they, but it's also not like, there's not like 20 goals a game.
Right.
It's just that the game itself is not really about...
It's a lot more back and forth. It's like if you married English football and South American football together, you know, the erraticness of South American football and the pragmatic sense of English football, put that together. Give 50-50 each. That's what you got at a Bundesliga. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was. It's fun to watch easily. And obviously,
we got to pick clubs. Obviously, we're not going Bayern. You might go Bayern.
I'm not going to go Bayern. No,
you're struggling
everything. I've already made my decision.
Who are you?
Dortmund. I've been even playing with them in FIFA.
Oh, tough decision.
I know it's been tough, but
Dortmund. Wow.
But they've been fun. They've been fun to watch.
I think if I had to pick one, I think I'd go Leverkusen. Really honest, I like the style they play.
I like watching them too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you agreed. Tough arguments we have here on the Cooligans.
Here's my Pulisic jersey.
Yeah. And here's my Jacko shirt. I know that's who makes it, the Leverkusen shirt.
Jacko,
that's the brand. Ooh. I'm all about it, dude. Come on, son.
What is that?
I love just strange.
Yeah.
Like whoever makes
that sounds
Watford's
like they make Leverkusen jerseys and like bad tasting candy.
Yeah.
Jackos.
Yeah. This kind of smells like Clorox. Wrong one. I took the wrong one. Jacko.
But yeah, so just in general, look, I we're MLS biased.
But you should be happy. You're a Everton fan. Come on, huge draw. You know, you guys had what? 12% possession.
Don't tell me how to feel. Don't tell me how
I'm telling you how to feel right now.
That's like if I say, look, Arsenal, they have a great squad. You should be happy. Why do you want Wenger? He's obviously has a strong structure. What are you complaining about?
I'm holding on, but I feel fine with Wenger right now.
Just until he loses. Give it 30 minutes.
We're on a great run. If I'm not mistaken, it's, I think, 6 in a row in the league. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a slow start.
Yeah.
I think you lost the first match.
Yeah.
No, you didn't lose it.
We did. We lost the first match. Yeah, that's no, right. Against Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah. But
and then we drew. I can't remember who we drew against.
I forgot who, yeah. But Everton played against Manchester City, you know, a 1-1 draw. A game that probably should have been about 5-1 to Manchester City.
Two missed penalties and one non-called penalty. I mean,
sure.
Wow. But if you're City, you go and you're like, we should have won that away.
And that's like maybe we should change the phrasing, because was it a missed penalty or a saved penalty by Martin Stecklenburg? Because those were big time saves.
Those were big time saves to the same location, and all credit goes to him.
The entire match, he was on his head.
Right.
And the do they say that in soccer? He was on his head.
He was standing on his head. Yeah.
Because they say that in hockey. They say that in hockey. Yeah.
He gets that. He gets a lot of credit. He guessed right each time. Got a hand on it, you know.
Amazing saves just throughout the game, because Manchester City had the ball the entire time. They did not.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't relinquish possession.
Like a kid in the sandbox who refuses to share.
This is my ball.
This is my ball. Yeah, and it looked. I think Everton, when they play the stronger sides, they know that they're not going to be able to offensively. They're not going to be able to do much. So they have to counterattack, and that's how they got their goal.
Yeah. And look, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I know it's not the prettiest form of soccer, but you got to go.
Hope Solo was furious. She was not happy with this.
She was ready to fight everyone in her family. domestic violence isn't a joke. Bim, 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 the more you know. You got guys like Delafeu, Bolasie, who just that assist, that pass. Vertical, you know, horizontal to the ground.
Yeah.
Just with the back of his heel to a full in stride Lukaku was amazing. But even that Delafeu strike beforehand, you know, you guys didn't get many options. Each time you did, you got a chance. It was dangerous. And that's kind of what you have to do against a club like City.
Yeah, that's watching the game, I was happy with the fact that I thought they were going to be completely overmatched. And after Jagielka kept fouling people in the box, I'm like, what?
Well, who let him walk out there with that 2x4? I mean, who let him?
Well, he just played so aggressively. And look, you want that. And it's a
but there's a line of diminishing returns, and that's a couple of penalties.
Yeah, I posted a tweet where just basically saying like Martin Stecklenburg's, you know, talking to his back line, just telling them, you don't deserve me. You know? Yeah, how dare you put me in this position?
How could you do this to us?
Hey, look, you expect that from Manchester City. Obviously, right. They're a first place team, but to get 1 point against a first place team is a good sign for Everton.
Absolutely. I mean, look, they're withstanding, you know, the barrage of tough clubs that they're going to play. And there's nothing better than, you know, going to a place like, you know, going against City and getting the opportunity to walk away with a point. You know, does that make them, you know, a Champions League club? Does that make them, you know, the best club in England? No. But does that make them, you know, better and better and better every year? And if this is progress for you,
it's a good sign.
You know, for me as an Arsenal fan, I watch what happened. Arsenal obviously wins big.
Why is it obvious?
Because I'm talking about it in a positive way, and I haven't started yelling. But I can't even remember who we played now for some reason.
You played Swansea. Bobby's in the house.
And we almost gave him a shot back. We almost let them. But, you know, Swansea, by the way, shout out to that dope shirt that Swansea was wearing. Love the kit.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Bradley looked good on the sideline.
Bobby Digital.
Yeah, Bobby Digital. Bung, bung. you know, Bobby Bradley, double B's, BB. He looked good out there. You know, he looked comfortable. I mean, he's doing what he does.
You see, did you see what he was
yelling
wearing?
At people.
You saw what he was wearing. He looked like he was wearing like the outfit that you would wear for like an improv show. Like it just all black, just all a black.
He's hiding
a,
in the back.
A black sweater.
Can I get a suggestion? They're like, yeah, win this match. He's like, can I get another suggestion? Close to drawing.
But overall, like he looked composed out there, and Swansea. It was looking bad in the beginning, but they, you know, they got two goals back. And,
for sure.
You know, overall, you didn't expect them to win this game.
No. And, you know, you look at Swansea and you say to yourself, can you judge Bob Bradley based off this match? The answer is no.
No, that's not fair.
And if there's one thing you can say is when they came back from the locker room at the second half, they seemed a bit more inspired, you know? So there you go, Bob. Sure. You know, you can't rate them too much on what's happened.
I heard Bob Bradley played a video of just Rocky climbing up the steps, yeah. And that inspired the entire Swansea
They'd
bunch.
Never seen it.
They never
They're
saw
Welsh.
It.
They don't know.
They don't know.
They're like, why are so many vowels being used in these words?
Yeah. There's a new wave of inspiration.
Right. If Rocky was Welsh, it would just be R-C-K-K-C-K-Z-N-Y.
Oh, yeah. You should have, I seen that. Rakuk-me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Every Christmas, they play that here.
My favorite movie.
Every Kukrmans, they play that here. Oh, boy. I mean, look, I'm happy for Arsenal. Sucks that we had to beat Bob Bradley in his first match at the helm. But look, if you're an Arsenal fan, this is part of being an Arsenal fan. Is like there's two types of Arsenal fans. First of all, there's three. There's the people that don't care that we're in a run. They want Arsene Wenger gone. There's the ones who are kind of maybe too excited at this run and think this is just who we're going to be in the season. And then the ones that hope that this is who we are for the rest of the season. And that's where I stand.
Well, it is kind of surprising to see, like, especially the people last season who were basically not doing anything.
Right.
Theo Walcott.
In particular, yeah. I mean, look, two poacher's goals. Anyone could have scored those goals. We could have scored those goals easily. But whatever. They count. They added towards our ability to win. Thank you so much. We move on. If anything, I'm a little bit upset about how Xhaka played.
Yeah, Granit Xhaka did.
He got a straight red for a really, really cynical, silly trip. And it wasn't like the guy had a chance to score. You know, he was just running past him.
This was in the midfield.
Yeah, really stupid play. And you know, Xhaka gave up. The pass back from. God, I'm losing my brain today. From Petr Cech, which ended up becoming a goal.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, he fumbled that pass. He just mishandled it. And here you go. I mean, this is exactly what happens. You know, he was a player like that just sort of loses their mind in one match, and the next thing you know, we're losing left and right. So
Xhaka is he's the center back, right?
Yeah, no, he's the defensive midfielder.
Defensive
midfielder,
okay. Yeah. I think my favorite part of the match was probably the Ozil goal. Mesut Ozil,
one-time volley, man. My God.
Yeah, he really blasted that.
And Alexis Sanchez, what a beautiful, and he was asking for it. If you watch the video, he's calling for it. Alexis Sanchez is like, how about I put it right on your foot?
It's kind of interesting because with Arsenal, because Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez clearly the striker, or more of a striker.
He's playing center forward, but I wouldn't say he's a striker. He seems to be like he roams a lot.
Yeah, well, it seems like the luxury of having two players like that is that they can reverse positions
right
at any given time, because Ozil can score almost from anywhere, but he's a guy who looks to pass first, and Sanchez seems to be the opposite.
Yeah, their ratios are vice versa.
Yeah,
you know, if Ozil is 25% shoot first, you know, 75% pass first, Alexis Sanchez is the opposite.
They're pretty dangerous, and I noticed that, you know, because I'm doing very poorly in fantasy, in Premier League fantasy, but I noticed like it's getting to the point, you know, in MLS fantasy, you almost had to have
Jovinko.
Otherwise, and not because, you know, you couldn't win with anybody else. He's too good.
Yeah.
So you would be.
The teams that had him scored too many points.
Yeah, risk losing points, or at least keeping up with the people that you're competing with in your league. And that's, I'm starting to see, Arsenal seems to be the only team scoring multiple goals in games. Nobody else is either one or two. But for the most part, Arsenal's deal, like, I mean, they're tied on points with Manchester City now.
Right.
But over the last, easily like 3-4 weeks, they've looked like the better team.
Yeah, and they have a lot of activity, and they're the kind of team that likes to move the ball around and, sort of change positions, really confuse the crap out of the back line, which I like. I've never seen Arsenal play like this type of football, at least not like in the last like 5 or 6 years. And it's kind of exciting.
What's this type? When you say this type, what's different?
Like, you know, almost like a false number nine, Alexis Sanchez isn't really turning his back to goal. Like Olivier Giroud was like a classic center forward. Alexis Sanchez is sort of, you know, sometimes it's Theo who's in the middle and sometimes Alexis is off to the side. Sometimes Alexis is back a little bit. Like this whole, the way that they're playing is very, very exciting. And I like it. I think it's something that's very quintessential Arsenal, especially with Arsene Wenger, is this ability for people to sort of move around and float around a little bit,
yeah.
You know, where it's not so stodgy. And Iwobi looks incredible. I mean, it's exciting to see, but again, I'm one of these people that hopes this is who we will be throughout the whole season. There's two other camps. I think most people are very cynical and believe this is just now. We're just on a run. Wait till December. Wait till Christmas time. That's when we start to fall apart. You know, it is what it is. We'll see.
That already seems odd to me. I guess the standard is so high because if you don't win the title, it's a failed season.
Right. We finished second and that was a failure last year. Yeah.
but you finished second by what? 7 points or something like that?
Yeah, I don't remember.
So
I try to block it out.
At this point, you don't have to worry about, you know, Leicester City taking the title. I think they're...
Yeah, but now we have to worry about City and Pep Guardiola and all these other people. I mean, I've said it before. I've said it a million times on this podcast. Last season was our best chance and we didn't do it.
Okay, well, there's still time, buddy. There's still time.
Yeah, there will be time. I think what we need to do is murder everyone who is associated with the other clubs.
Okay.
And that's the only way we're going to win.
All right. Yeah. All right. I mean, that'll lead to a few other issues.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not a perfect plan, but it's a plan.
You know, but I'm willing to work.
I don't hear you coming up with anything.
Chelsea, also, the last game we're going to talk about, Chelsea against Leicester City, last season's champions against the two seasons ago champions.
The two last champions fighting each other.
Fighting each other violently. Chelsea wins 3-0.
Well, Diego Costa is on the pitch, so that's a possibility.
Yeah, so it is a prize fight. Chelsea 3-0 against Leicester.
Leicester looks like garbage, unless it's Champions League.
If it's not a Champions League game,
they don't wake up for it.
Leicester's not even interested.
Yeah.
I don't got time. I'm a champion.
I should be in the league of champions.
What is this lower league that we're playing? Yeah. This doesn't mean anything.
Premier. Yeah, Premier champion. Thank you very much. Yeah, they. I don't know what's going on. Claudio Ranieri looks like missing Conte is a big, big hit. But Leicester's still playing well against, you know, non-English teams. That's what it is. They got to play non-English teams in order for them to be able to do well.
Yeah, that was the big concern, right? Everyone was like, oh, how are they going to do in the Champions League? They're not going to...
They're going to get knocked down the round of 16. They're getting out of their group.
Look, if they get even in the round of 16, that's a big accomplishment for Leicester.
Stop it.
They gotta
come close to repeating. They gotta get at least maybe quarterfinals in the Champions League for it to be a big deal. It was a big deal getting into the Champions League. You don't get in a participation trophy.
No, you get lots and lots of money for every time you advance.
You do. There's certainly the owner's making his money back for all them BWIA.
I'd be fine with that too.
Yeah. Someone just hands you $200,000. Thanks for showing up. Like, oh yeah.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Is this the participation trophy?
Oh my God. Why have I been rallying against these forever? These seem like a lot of fun.
Yeah. For me watching it is a little bit of a bummer. I would have liked to see them play a little better.
You would love if they got knocked out in some weird way and they had to bring Everton in. Now you would love that.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's an Air Bud movie that I just put. There's the only way that's happening.
Right? The screenplay.
The only team that could take over would be Everton.
Look, I'm looking at your phone. I think it's Hollywood calling.
Yeah.
They want that idea.
Some guy who works at Dollywood instead.
Well, but no, Leicester lost 3-0 to Chelsea. Yeah. I mean, Chelsea just... I don't want to say they necessarily outmatched them, but their goals were absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and look, they're a better club. Conte, although did you hear that Diego Costa and Conte had a massive, massive argument? Ooh, did you hear? Because Costa asked to be taken off. And Conte told him, no, you don't ask to be taken off. You get taken off when I tell you you're off.
Ooh.
And they had a massive, massive blowout. So Darlington Nagby never coming back to the national team, we're hearing. Didier Drogba going home. Diego Costa might not start.
Wow.
Yeah. Or they might get over it. Who knows?
I don't know. He seems like one of the players that's too good to, you have to sort of let him be like a dick.
That's part of his game, you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what makes him great.
Even amongst his own teammates, like he's like, oh, well, he's that guy. He's a jerk. Yeah. And we're just going to.
He's an asshole, but it's the source of his power.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
It's his life.
But not with the manager. You don't do that with the gaffer.
Okay. He scored a goal. Hazard scored a goal. Victor Moses scored another goal.
Victor Moses looking good now. I don't know what they did, but he's looking great.
Yeah, I guess there were rumors last week, and when I say rumors, I mean it's definitely rumors that Antonio Conte was going to get sacked because Chelsea weren't playing so well the last few weeks. They lost two, they won two, they won their last two.
And if that sounds insane, remember that Abramovich is the owner. This is the shit he does.
Really?
Yeah.
He has that short of a leash.
Yeah. I think Chelsea has had more managers in the last 3 years than Aston Villa had wins last season. Some crazy number like that. I don't know. I could be making some of that up, all of that up. I'm not sure. I think I heard that stat somewhere.
I don't know. I feel like you're a big old liar.
Big old liar. I might be lying about this one. I don't know. Well, listen, we've had an amazing episode.
We have.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it.
Everyone already. I mean, they're not even done listening to it. And already they're tweeting, they're chatting.
Yeah.
They're doing the whole thing. Look, I think Premier League's going to be just fine, whether you and I find it exciting or not. Things are moving, things are happening. And a lot of the clubs are playing really well in the Champions League. You can't ask for more than that.
Yeah. Overall, a couple things to go through. I want to make sure everybody who's listening watches our latest video on our YouTube channel. We have the part two of Donald Trump at NYCFC versus DC United.
And this one we just loaded with all of the funny stuff that happened.
Yeah. So it's just it's Donald Trump at a soccer game at Yankee Stadium.
Exactly what you would expect to happen.
And it's really, really fun and funny. And there's just a bunch of great it's just a bunch of great jokes, great lines. JL Covan, who played Donald Trump, he does a stellar impression of Donald Trump. And he just absolutely killed it. He was really so funny. Good.
Yeah. And, obviously we're going to have some more information and more content from that Jack Harrison interview coming out, hopefully very, very soon. We're working on it. Again, we'll put the call out. If anyone knows how to edit video or wants to help with us in any way, shape or form, we would absolutely love it.
Yeah,
we are working very, very hard. I know some of our fans are very dedicated and we love it, but we are doing this ourselves. If you don't have a skill and you don't know how to help, our Patreon is there. You might have heard a commercial for it on our podcast. You might have seen us tweet it out. It's there. We would love any help you can for as little as $1 a month.
Yeah.
That's cheaper than feeding one of those kids. Those Sally Struthers kids. You know what I'm talking about?
You're saying one of those kids as if like, who wants to help those
Nobody.
Things?
People are helping them get fed. We're fine. You know who needs help? These two.
We
guys.
Do. And it would mean the world to us. And obviously we were talking about like we're trying to do big things and it's very difficult to do those things without a little bit of money. So, $1 a month, $5 a month, whatever you want to give.
Up to $100. There's an option there for $100 a month.
There's so many cool like things that we'll give back to our supporters.
Right.
If you, the more you donate, but look, you can give $1 a month. $1 is Nothing.
Nothing. That's less than a cup of coffee a month.
You do not care about $1 a month.
But if a bunch of you got together and gave us that, well, and here's the thing. We don't need to pay our rent with that money. I mean, we would, if you guys gave us a bunch of money, I mean, maybe that would go into
sure, that'd be cool.
Yeah, my wife would be like, hey, how about I quit my job now that this Patreon is really kicked off? But what we're going to do is we're going to take 100% of this money and we're going to put it into more content, getting you guys more and more, you know, things to watch. You know, I'm not going to say any negative things, but, you know, we're trying to give you some really entertaining sort of new points of view on the fandom and the sport of soccer here in America. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it. We're enjoying making it for you. We don't want to be tied to the computer editing this stuff. And, you know, we want to come up with the idea and go out and shoot it. Maybe we'll be able to afford, you know, some crew guys to come out and film for us. If you guys want to do that and help us out, a couple of people helped us on that, on the Jack Harrison event. Thank you very much, Adam Friedland, who you might know from the Bruce Bananas. Thank you very much, Andre.
Medano. Another comic.
Another comic who came through. Kirby as well. Dee and Helene, everybody. You know, if you guys want to help in that sense, that's awesome. If you don't have any money, I understand some of you may not even have a dollar a month, but you do listen to this. We want to keep giving you this for free. What you could do is share the shit out of that Patreon. Share with everyone you know. Let them know that they can help out by, you know, a dollar a month, and that's it. And hopefully this thing takes off and we can keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger without having to change what we do.
Exactly. So, yeah, a dollar a month is the absolute minimum. It would genuinely help us quite a bit. If you want to give more and you want this really cool incentives,
that option is there.
That option is there. So the more you give, you know, we'll have stuff like you can get some merch, some Cooligans
hats, a jersey. A Cooligans official Cooligans jersey before it's launched. By the way,
you get invited to comedy shows. We'll do a lot of different things. So you'll be the first to hear about it. So get on board the Cooligans train.
Absolutely. Toot, toot. I had to do it. As corny as that was, I had to do it. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. I know I enjoyed it. Did you have fun?
I had fun, Alexis.
Oh, boy. I'm always happy when you have fun. Well, listen, we talked about a lot of things. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this, and hopefully you'll enjoy some of the other content we put out, because it's not just a podcast. We're two guys, and we call ourselves the
Cooligans.